fatherhood, and the core of it all, love. So, before I started, actually, I did want to do testimonials because I believe that the redeemed of the Lord should say so. So I will open the floor for anybody who has any testimonies. If anybody has a testimony they'd like to share to encourage us all that the Lord is good, the Lord is alive, and he answers prayers. I know there are testimonies in this house. We had one shared earlier, which was electrifying. Are there any others? Yes, please. Hallelujah. Let's glorify our Lord, our Heavenly Father.
Good morning. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers. So my mom had to do a mammogram, and she recently had a very close friend of hers from the islands who hid cancer for like a year, even from her husband. And then within minutes, she was gone. It affected my mother so much, and now she was getting ready to do her mammogram. My mom, my parents are pastors and they are people of faith, but for some reason, this was the most nervous I have heard her throughout my life growing up with my parents. So I said, Mom, I'm not worried about it. You're going to be just fine. The results are going to be just fine. Her doctor got the results and said to her, it looks like cancer. And my mom just listened to it and everything, and she was uneasy. I didn't know this part. My mom thought she told me that that's what the doctor spoke, but I always said to my mom, I'm not worried. So after you do a mammogram, if it's anything that looks funny, they send you to do an ultrasound. So she went to do the ultrasound. Again, I said, Mom, I'm not worried. She went, she did it. She said the technician was so nice, everything. Results got back to the doctor. Now she has to go and get the results. Again, I'm not worried because I know in whom I put my trust. I was never worried, never concerned. And when my mom got the results, the doctor was surprised. There's nothing there. There's nothing. So I don't know what she saw. Like, how do you look at your patient and just tell them straight up, I think it's cancer? Like, wait till you get the concrete thing. Maybe what she saw looked like something. But after doing extensive tests, I said, Mom, I told you, we know the God that we serve. Yes, we're human and we're going to be shaky at times, but just always have that foundation and just know in whom you serve. And nothing's there. So you don't have anything to worry about. And of course, we just stood there and just give God all the glory, give him all the praise, because we're always going to be able to prove to these doctors there's someone bigger than you. Yeah, you're placed here to do, what God sent you to do to help us. But above all of that, there's someone bigger in whom we put our trust. Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, Mariah has a testimony. Please.
So once me and my brother were walking to school, and we were in front of the main road, and I saw a few cops. A few cars that were passing by. So I looked away for a quick second to talk to my friend. And then I saw Doomsie started to cross the road. And then something told me that I should turn around to look. And I saw a car was about to t hit him. So I stopped him and pulled him back. And I'm just glad that God warned me that before he got hit with the car.
Hallelujah. We thank the Lord for the Holy Spirit that keeps us alert and on our toes. Oh, Lord. I wasn't expecting to get hit with that. Oh, could you imagine if we had lost Jensen? Oh, Lord, we thank you, Father. We thank you for continuing to keep each and every one of us as the apple of your eye. We don't know how you do it, but you do it. Oh, yes, please. Let us praise our Heavenly Father. That's what today's all about.
I would just like to give a testimony about my college journey in general. But yesterday, as I was coming back home from, I went to the beach with my friends last week. But I start off my testimony with this, that She was in the car, and I was with my mom's friend was driving us home back home from the beach, and my friend was like, "Oh, this diver always praises the Lord after she goes to like every diving meet, but we think that oh she shouldn't do that because it's like the hours of work that she put in to like diving that makes her great." And then they're like, "What do you think?" And I was like, "No, I think that she should praise the Lord because it's where her strength comes from. Even though she wasn't lazy, she did put work in. Anything can happen. It's the Lord that truly makes these things possible." And I said, "I thank the Lord that I was even able to get into the schools I was able to get into, even though I wasn't lazy throughout my time in school. I still drew my strength from the Lord. The Lord made me less anxious. He was with me in the nights that I was studying and I was trying to keep awake. And I really just thank the Lord for everything that happened. And also with financial aid as well, the Lord has really blessed me. I remember I was writing down in my notebook that, oh Lord, if this school could just give me this set amount of money, and He gave me more than that. And I was just thanking the Lord so much because it's like out of feeble prayers, the Lord has really blessed me. So I really thank the Lord. That's my testimony.
Any other t oh yes, please.
My testimony is that my company I work for went into bankruptcy and shut down. So they started shutting down every store. First, they told us, end of June, you'll know. And then I get to work one day, my boss says, oh, you're shutting down in 2 weeks. So it's a case of, oh, I need a job. So, of course, we put applications out and all that. But I think my main testimony is the fact that I was actually able to say no to other jobs. In the time where people are looking for work and all, I got the first application and I was like, nah. And I waited on another one and it came through. And the first one still sent me an email saying, did you get the offer? And I had to say, yes, I did, but no. And I was able to finish one and start another one almost immediately. So I thank God for that in and through it all, like the day they told me I got to work and I was like, yeah, let's make noise. And they looked at me like, are you okay? They were really concerned that, are you okay? Are you sure you're not going to break down? I'm like, shh. I'm not going to break down. It's okay. Because everybody was in shock. Like, what are we going to do? You're giving us 2 weeks to get out. So, in all, I thank God that when I tell people, they look at my face, they're like, are you sure you're okay? So I'm okay. And I know that it wasn't for me because there's a whole lot of things going on in the back. It was more from God saying, don't worry, you'll be okay. And I thank him for everything he's done.
Are we going to keep it going? Any other testimonies? We can do this all day. All right. Seeing none, I'll give my own testimony. My testimony is, I was looking forward to this Father's Day, just thinking about all the goodness that the Lord has poured into my life. Because to be completely sincere and honest with everyone, this past birthday I had was before it happened, I'll say it would have been the worst one in my life. I've always, cherished and enjoyed my birthdays, but this was the one that I really dreaded coming up to. 33, it's not a significant number generally. Some people call it the Jesus year, but for me, It was more coming to terms with the fact that I'm not a young man anymore. And, maybe life doesn't look the way I had really anticipated or hoped it would be. If it were up to me, today I'd also be getting to celebrate Father's Day as a father. But, instead I'm standing up here as a single man. So it was tough, especially because some of you may know that last year I was even engaged. So it was a very tough birthday. But I thank the Lord, as I always do, for the fellowship, for my family here, because you guys made it very special, especially the children coming out with me to go skating. It was fantastic. I had a wonderful time. And then going back later to my place with some of the other church members and my friends and family, it reminded me that the Lord is taking care of me. And his plan, is better than whatever my plan was. Because if I did have children when I had thought I would, I wouldn't have had a job to pay for it. So so I give thanks to the Lord for his plan working in my life rather than my will. And I pray that continues to happen. But for this Father's Day, I especially wanted to give a testimony for my own father. I think, or I know really, a lot of individuals who are raised in Muslim households don't have the pleasure or the privilege that I have of having the father that I had. I think we've all heard the horror stories of, the attacks, the kicking out of the house, of, basically excommunicating family members when they decide to leave the faith and, profess Christ or any other religion. And my father was kind to me, and he hasn't changed in his love towards me, and I don't take that for granted. So I just wanted to thank the Lord for giving me such a loving father that I don't have any extra challenges in my walk with God that I have to also try to contend with or wrestle with. Oh, how do I deal with my dad? How do I deal with my family? He's given me a loving family, a father who, since I was a youth, since I was a child, despite him also, being a lawyer, working in the legal field, there was never an event that I had as a child that he missed. So I'm grateful to the Lord for that. And I pray that he'll give me the same soundness of mind and the prioritization of the gifts that he gives me of children, that I'll also be a good father in Jesus' name. And so we get into the word, the wonderful word. I think it goes without saying, but I'll say it anyway. Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Today, this Father's Day, we honor our fathers. We honor our Heavenly Father. Thank each and every one of the fathers here for all that you've done, all that you're doing even now that we're not aware of, and all that's to come, because we know that we are confident and we're pleased in knowing that the fathers in our midst today are not, what do they call them, Sunday Christians or Christmas Christians, but fathers who are consistent in their faith. And I know the Lord is building them up stronger and stronger. So today, with the word, we want to explore how we can make our great fathers even better. And the Lord has said that in order to do that, we need to get to know him. And in order to know him, we need to know love. So I posit this question to everyone. What is love? Any answers? And we'll pass the mic around for anybody who can give an answer for what is love? What is the love? How would you define love? How does the Bible define love?
1 Corinthians 13 tells us love is patient, love is kind, Love is does not keep records of wrong, and that love never fails.
Indeed. Thank you. Thank you. Any other definitions? They don't necessarily have to be Bible definitions, even your own understanding of what it means to love.
Well, I think love is care. Care for someone is love.
Yeah, I agree.
Thank
Any
you.
other definitions?
Love is selfless.
Indeed.
Love is when you like trust someone a lot and you have a big bond with them and will spend your life with the person.
That's a good one. That is one kind of love.
When I hear the word love, the definition I get from love is that they strongly admire me. They like me a lot. They think I'm special. They think I'm unique. They like me for who I am. And love also means God, because God is love.
Yes. Good answer.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, love can be a kind of an emotional thing. You know, it can be emotional. And like somebody said also, it can be a selfless type of love. When it's selfless, irrespective of who you are, what you are, with that condition. You understand? It can be selfless, it can be emotional, and it can be unconditional acceptance. You know, no matter who you are, as a man or a woman, as a child, you just want to, you know, accept that person. In fact, to me, the one I prefer most is a true love is expressed towards others when that person is actually going astray. You know, you just want to love him for who he is or who she is. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Right. Thank you for the answers, everyone. I appreciate them. And we'll go back to the first answer to 1 Corinthians 13. I would like for our very own Ade Jari, if he could read it for us. We can put it on the screen, please.
Though I speak with tongues of men and angels, but have no love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have no love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Love is not puffed up, nor does it behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am also. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest of these is love.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. And believe it or not, all how in-depth that was, it's only still just a glimpse of the love that is our God. Oh, okay. We have some love in the chat. I don't know if we can pull up the chat list so we can see all the comments. Oh, great job, Anike. You got some compliments. Compliments to the Lord for your testimony. Love is sacrifice, just like Jesus sacrificed his life for us. Love is the hardest word to define, impossible to define in one sentence. That is true. We just read a whole chapter, and it still hasn't been fully defined yet. There's still so much more to this love that our God has showered us with, this love that, should we follow it, we'll have no fear that perhaps it may even bring us to the perfection that the Lord desires of us. Now, as we explore this theme of love and how it makes one a better father, or how it even defines our loving father, let's look to the word some more for just how can we come to that understanding of love. Because love is different depending on where you are, depending on who you are. There's different ways you can show it. As we've said, love is not just an emotion, it's also an action. So how can children show love? How can fathers show love? Let's go back to the word that was shared for us earlier from Dunson. We'll go to Ephesians 6. We'll go from verses 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. And the wonderful thing about the word is the word is consistent. The word is persistent. And we can look further on how to raise up children with the training and admonition with Proverbs 22:6, which reads that, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And that, is that not true love? For a father to raise up his child in a way that will help his child secure the same gifts that he has. That indeed is a love that is not jealous or envious, a love that is not prideful, because it shares. You're sharing the gift that our Father gave to you with the sacrifice of his Son with your children. So I exhort our fathers here today to continue to treat your children with love, with kindness, but of course, chastising where appropriate, so that they do not depart from this path, because the path that they are set upon is that path where they will only die once and not twice. And that is the greatest gift any father could give. So let's please keep that in mind, keep that in our hearts, that these children that we're raising are the most precious gift that the Lord has given us other than eternal life, that we can share it with those whom we love. Now, in a Burtonsville Bible study a few weeks ago, we were going over the book of 1 John, chapter 4. And in there, it speaks about love. As I learned from Pastor Bumi, John is also known as the Apostle of Love. And through his books, we really get a much more in-depth understanding of just what is this love and this love of God, of all loves. We could pull up 1 John 4. We'll start from verse 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as a Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, for perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Hallelujah. And there we have even more, a more in-depth look of what love truly is. We mentioned earlier what love looks like for a son, what love looks like for a father. And here we have clear as day, what love looks like from our Heavenly Father, that he gave his only begotten Son for each and every one of us, that we may enjoy life everlasting. So precious a gift. But it's a gift that we're obligated, if we also want to be called fathers, to also share, that we must be reflective of that love. It says that you can't hate your brother. I know All of us who have siblings know that our brothers, our sisters can be a pain sometimes. But our Lord calls us to love as he loves, to forgive as he forgives. And in so doing, our children will also see. I know, I saw Daddy fighting with Uncle the other day. Oh, but today they're friends again. So I know that you're supposed to make up with people who sometimes make you upset. And I'm just so grateful to God for the sacrifice of his son, because in that all, in that moment, it was just a short span of time, really. But in that short span of time was everything, was eternity for each and every one of us. It was lessons learned that would last an eternity, that by God's grace would continue to be passed down and has been passed down now for 2,000 years and however many more until the return of Christ. Fathers, I pray that you'll continue to keep that chain going. The testimony of our Lord, of our God, who is love, to share that love with one another. Because we don't know when that day will come. But my prayer in my heart of hearts is that not a single one of our fathers will go into glory unsure of where their children are going. But they'll all know that when they rise up, their children are rising up with them in Jesus' name. You know, it's would be a lot easier to give a sermon on being a father if I was, a father like Pastor Bumi or Pastor Wale, but I can speak on, my own experiences with a father and how kindness goes a long way. It allows your children to come to you because they can trust in you. Just as our darling sister sang earlier, because the Lord had been faithful, because the Lord had answered her prayers, she could trust him. And so I remind our fathers, I know sometimes our children can be a little out of hand, but a kind word turns away wrath, and it also turns away children who deny their parents in an older age. May none of us have silence from our children as they grow older in Jesus' name. What I want is that, all of our fathers remain open to their children. Sometimes children, they don't have filters. So the things they say may be harsh or strange, but as a father, you have the capacity to mold and teach, but you can't teach that which isn't before you. So it's important that that channel of love remains open and isn't restricted. So that way that when times are tough, let's say, the world is always at the heels of our children, trying to bring them into this thing, into that thing, which is of darkness. And if your child doesn't feel safe speaking to you about it, they'll succumb. And that's just the sad fact of it. If they don't feel safe with you, there's now this broken chain between them and possibly even their communication with their Heavenly Father. To be a father is a very, very powerful, important position. To whom much is given, much is asked of. And I'm asking of our fathers here to continue to do what I know you're all doing, to be those stalwart defenders of your households, not just to bringing in money, because what is money? Money will pass. But protecting the lives of your wives, of your children, to ensure that they do not lose out on this precious gift that the Lord bought for us at a most high price, a price that none of the fathers here, I don't think, would do. Would any of you sacrifice your child? Of course not. I mean, because your sacrifice of your child wouldn't give eternal life to anyone else. But for God, that's what he did for us. So just asking or exhorting our fathers to just keep it in mind. Whenever your kids perhaps are irksome, just remember that the Lord is asking a great favor from you, a great responsibility from you, that you protect the promise that he's placed into your hands, that he's given you this gift, this beautiful, this wonderful olive branch, so that when you and your wife are seated at the table, it surrounds you. And he wants it to continue to grow. And your children will have children, and you'll enjoy their presence, all singing the goodness of God. And this Father's Day, I pray that we all keep in mind our loving Father and our earthly fathers. That is our brothers. So the fathers who are in our midst, I hope we don't leave here and only see each other on Sundays, but we commune with one another on how to become even better fathers together. That each of us can ensure that our houses, our homes, our children are all raised in the right way. That we take that leadership, that first step, that although the world may do one way, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That will be the chance heard by every child here, that they will never have reason to question or doubt that their father does not act in love. I take solace, I suppose, in knowing that I share this message, but in my heart, I feel perhaps I'm preaching to the choir, that I know that the fathers here are wonderful fathers. But I know that that's not the same for our brothers and sisters throughout the world, in other churches, perhaps even in churches next to us. So as we look towards the future, I know this Saturday we'll be flyering for VBS. Let's always remember to reach out, not just to our brothers here, but our brothers in other churches. For as we've said time and time again, the church isn't our church. It's God's church. And we're all together in it. When we all wake up again for the last time, there won't be a new covenant church in heaven. There won't be a redeemed church in heaven. It'll just be the church. It'll be us, our brothers, our sisters, our Lord and Savior. So I don't want to keep us too long because I know it is. Oh, is that a question? Yes, we have a microphone.
So I'll go back to 1 John 20. And I'm being honest because I've really always struggled with that verse that says, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? In life, there are times whereby some people are just difficult to love. And you know how it is that sometimes you have a friend, right? Because you don't live together, you get along and you like each other. The moment you live together, you probably hate each other. disagree. Yeah, I mean, when they say, but, you know, there are times whereby you even maybe stop talking after leaving. You know what I mean? So I always say to myself, it's easy for me to love God that I've not seen, but some people around me, I'm being honest. And I've asked this question, even I remember my husband and I doing Bible, we read this, I asked him, I don't think the answer I got was. So I don't know if you have any or anybody.
Yeah, so I don't speak as an authority, of course, but my understanding is, when God calls us to love, the love he wants us to love with isn't necessarily, like a relationship kind of love, but he wants us to love like he loves, an agape love. In the Bible, they use love differently. In English, we only have love. But there's agape, there's philios, and then there's a third one which I can't remember right now. But there's different kinds of love, and just like when Christ resurrected and he went to Peter, he said, "Do you love me?" And Peter says, "Yeah, I love you," but he doesn't say the same love that Christ asked him. He says a different kind of love. He's basically saying, "Yeah, I like you." And he says, "Do you love me?" He says, "Yeah, I like you," and then he eventually says, "Yes, I love you." And so when God is calling us to love one another, it's with the agape love, the love that he has for mankind. Just as lo God loves me, the same that he loves, it's probably somebody down the street getting carjacked right now. And he loves that carjacker, because he understands that although they're acting in a way, incorrectly at that moment, but in them is the capacity that they could reach, where if steered and geared towards love in the right way. So when your brother or sister or friend, does you wrong, you can love them knowing they did me wrong now, but they've done me good before. I mean, that's why we're friends. And it's not impossible for things to return to the way they were. It's not as if my friend has killed me. My friend is not dead. There's always an opportunity for things to be better. And I trust in the Lord who can do all things, who makes the narrow paths broad, who makes the crooked paths straight. And if I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, why not can this friendship, which seems irredeemable, be redeemed? And I'm not going to say it's easy because we're still in our earthly bodies, but it's possible. It's very possible. It's doable because I think all of us could testify that we've had relationships that have gone sour and they've gotten better. I think it's sometimes the darkness can be alluring in a sense that when things seem bad, you lose sight of all the things that used to be good. And if you just remember, they can be good again. I think so when we went over this passage in Bible study, one of the ways that I had thought of to help overcome, this barrier issue is to pray. Not for yourself, but for the person who's done you wrong, just as we've been commanded to do, right? Jesus said it's easy to love people who love you. So you pray for those who curse you. You pray for those who've done you wrong. And when you pray for them, you build love for them because all that's in your thought isn't, oh, they did me wrong. It's, I love this person. I want the Lord to make them an even better person than the way they're behaving right now because I know they can be better. And now that right there, that's the love that God wants of you. And so that's, my answer to the question. I hope it makes sense. Yes. Oh, here's a Pastor Bumi. God University training in love. Love for your Christian brethren, love for those not in the faith, love for your enemies and those that hate you. How can we say we love God when we have not passed the first step? Yes.
Just thinking and trying to answer the question, asking another question, that if God turns us to be another Job, are we going to love God? if God tells us to be another Job. So before, you know, restoring the situation, and now we do claim we love God, are we still going to love him? So if you say, the God that you have not seen, you don't know how he's going to respond to what you think is, you know. So we assume because, oh, God is up there, he's kind, he's... So God might come to me and tell me, Inka, all this I do not want. And I begin to think, ah, you need to understand. No, I'm not going to understand. This, I have a rule, I am strict. And that is true about God, he's holy. So I just begin to think, this like we assume who God is. And therefore, because of that assumption, we think, oh, God is a good God, and therefore I love him. Definitely is good. So, but there are things that he might not really agree with us, you know. And then when we are not agreeing with God and the agreement is not really working out, we have a tendency of thinking, no, I think God, go your way, you know. So if he turns me to be another Job, the step for agreeing with the devil, for saying yes to the devil for a moment, are we going to say, God, I still love you? So that's just what occurred to me. And therefore, that means, you know, the determination, like Job said, even if he kills me, slays me, takes everything away from me, I will still serve him, or let's say, I'll still love him. So it means, though we might have a distance, but in our heart, it's just like the heart has been reformed, receiving God's grace. You know, it's not human. Sincerely, it's not human. That we just decide, okay, even though mama is slapping me and you're doing everything, still, she's a creator of God. I've chosen to love God in her. And then, though I might not go and play with her, but it's not eating her. I'm just trying to stay away. That's what I think.
Oh, yeah. While we pass the mic, I'll just speak on it a bit. As we know, you know, when Christ returns, we're not going to be in these human bodies. We'll enter our heavenly bodies. But even now, you know, we're experiencing transformation of our humanly bodies. You know, when you're in Christ, you're not the same as those who are out of Christ. You know, we have an understanding of the word that someone who has not given their life to Christ will never have. They can read the Bible front to back 100 times. It will never mean to them what it means to us. And so as you love, as you said, it will shift, it transforms your heart. You know, now your heart is the heart that when your friends do you wrong, you say, yeah, that's my brother in Christ. I know this is us here. In the end, we're both going to be in heaven together. So let's figure this out in between. But in the end, it'll all work out. So I don't have any space even for anger or hate of my brother. It just doesn't fit in your heart anymore. Yeah, we're not all there yet, but we're all getting there by God's grace, in Jesus' name. I think there's also a hand up on Zoom from Shama, Brother Shama, or Sister Shama.
Yeah, thank you very much, brother. Yeah, personally, I sometimes feel guilty for trying to love, you know, as a father, and then maintaining the responsibility bestowed on me also as a father and the head of the family. So, you know, sometimes it's very difficult for the children to really know that, you know, the stand of, maybe some of the things the father used to do is love. They look at it as sometimes chastisement, sometimes punishment, rather than looking at it as love. So most of the time you see, your children could feel as maybe their mothers are more lovely than their father. It's so hard. So we sometimes feel so guilty. And I really don't know whether I'm the only one that feel that way. Thank you very much.
Pick up a mic, so I think they might be able to answer better.
Praise God. Yeah, just where I'm coming from, another angle, to buttress what my brother just said, what struck me is this. Yes, like my sister said here, you feel more challenging, you know, when you are looking at your fellow human being who behold your sin, behaving otherwise is more difficult as a natural man. You don't want to, accept that. I once said in my church back home, I said, the greatest word that I hate is, forgiveness. How will you forgive somebody that is busy doing wrong thing? And in church, you are told to do contrary to that. The answer is this, ma. The answer is this. When you experience God's love and you understand God's love, you will deal with human being. You don't want to, compare. You don't want to spell out what they are doing, and say you don't want to love them when you experience God's love. After all, the scripture says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He puts everything behind. So when you experience God's love, you will deal with human being. Irrespective, the scripture says there is no good in any man. In me, in you, what makes the difference now is Christ. Because from inception, all what is within a man is what? Is evil. Even the owner of the heart, me, I don't know what I can do in the next moment. But when Christ comes in, it changes all things. So you can love your fellow human being when you understand God's peace, God's love, and you deal with it. I said the other time, the last time I said, unconditional acceptance of your brethren, because you want to love that person for who he is. For, the true love is expressed when actually others are going astray. And that's it. God will help us.
So looking at it from the context of Matthew chapter 5, and if you look from 48, the Bible says that be ye perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. All the verses preceding that were talking all about love. And Paul describes the bond of perfection as love, right? But as believers, we need to get away from the notion that love is reactive, is actually proactive. If you love something, especially the way you love yourself, right? Starting with yourself, you know some of the things that you want in your life for yourself. So you proactively position yourself in such a way that you will be successful, correct? You decide what courses you are going to do, what food you should eat. You put all things. So if you were to now transpose that love to another person, you become more prepared to love them, knowing their tendencies as well. It doesn't make it easy, right? Because even loving yourself comes with challenges. You have to give up certain things in order for you to exercise that love to yourself. If you're going to do the same for your fellow man, then you have to give up certain things as well. It starts with the personal ego and the pride, and that is hard, right? You can ask my wife. She probably prays very hard every morning that this man has woken up again. Please, God, do something, right? And she just pinched me now. So, that's one. If we look at the person of Jesus Christ and Peter, right? When Peter said, "I'm going to die for you," what did the Lord say? He said, "You are going to deny me three times, and the devil has sought to thrift you, sift you, but I have already prayed for you." The Lord knew it was coming. He saw it coming, and he's prayed to the fact that this one is mine. I'm not going to lose him. Do you understand? So there's a proactiveness and a preparedness we have to have about love. It's not that we wait for something to happen. We have to begin to condition ourselves to be able to be like our Father, who causes the sun to shine on the godly and the ungodly. So, I think I don't know that there's any clear formula for how to be that way, but the one thing is, if we take love as a command from God, not a suggestion, then we'll be more proactive to prepare ourselves to love. Again, though, I will, it's again a challenging thing to do. It's not easy, but over time, with grace and prayer, and with the grace of God, we can be proactively loving the way our Father is.
Hallelujah. You know, I've heard it said that church is like school. But I think another way you can think of it is also it's like the gym. You know, in order to get to that place that we want to get to, it takes practice. And there's no better place for that practice than the church. That's why we're exhorted to pray for one another, to bear each other's burdens. And that through that consistent practice, you know, every Friday we have prayer service together. So when we see our brothers and sisters in person, it's easier to love them because we've already been praying for them. You know, for Sister Success, we've been praying for her to get her job and she has it now. So if Sister Success came to church one day and maybe she had a chip on her shoulder and she might have made a snarky word to someone, you would find it in your heart easier to forgive her because just 2 days ago you were praying for her. You're not gonna be like, hey, you're like, oh, what's wrong? You'll approach her differently. You won't come with anger or hatred. You'll approach with love first. Now you've shed off that earthly muscle and you've turned into that divine heart that you're seeking. So as we continue to do that, I think we'll all get there by Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, by God's grace, as we continue to come to Friday prayer service every Friday, 7:30 to 9 o'clock on Zoom. We'll all grow stronger and greater, and this fellowship will be perfected, that when the Lord returns, he will not find the place empty, but he'll find his disciples waiting and willing and awaiting to join him in glory. Can we all rise? Okay, one more.
I am so sorry, but recently I have an experience with my daughter, and she did something, and I got mad at her, and I passed a comment that made her to feel so bad, and I felt so bad also because it was actually driven by love. It was love driven, and she didn't understand it, and I felt I withdrew, and while I was trying to see, oh God, God pointed me to some things, and that's what I want to show us. He taught me that I read one of the writings of Paul where he said, brothers, we are praying for you and that God will strengthen you. And I looked at what he wanted God to strengthen them to do, to have patience. So, and I therefore discovered that it takes an extra strength made available by the Holy Spirit to be patient as a father, to communicate love in a way that our children will understand. So, thank you.
Thank you. I mean, that's very true. I mean, when we think about it, to be honest with the fathers here, as a child myself, you don't really appreciate how much your parents love you when you're growing up. I mean, that's just the fact of life. So it is difficult because now we're trying not only to understand the love of our parents, but even the love of our Heavenly Father. Here we have Peter who literally walked on water with Christ, but he still denied him. So it's a tough road to hoe, but we can all make it, and we will all make it in Jesus' name. Let us rise. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, this glorious, wonderful, magnificent Father's Day. Well, we thank you that you brought us here to this halfway point of the year. It feels like just yesterday the year just began, but here we are now in the Ides of June, giving you the glory and giving you the praise. Lord, we thank you for every father in our midst, for we know that you are fashioning their feet to be like those of deer, placing them into high places. We pray that you open each and all of our eyes of understanding. They will come to know you even better, even greater, that the love that you are shall be made manifest within each and every one of us. For indeed, your Holy Spirit dwells within us. Lord, we thank you for this love. May we, as your ambassadors of that magnificent light of life that you so lovingly placed within us, do our best to spread the gospel throughout the four corners of the world. Do our best that our actions are reflective of what it means to be a child of God. That in us and of us, there will be no opportunity for the enemy to find ground in their rebuke. That they will not be able to point to us, point to our church, and ridicule us. But in you, we shall always have glory. Lord, we thank you for this day, another great youth-led service. We thank you for the children who participated. Continue to allow the fire that you've lit in them to burn, burn, burn brightly. That not only shall it continue to energize them, but when they too grow up and raise their children, that that light shall continue to shine in them as well, in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for what you're doing even now. And we thank you for the glory that is to come, that we here can be confident, knowing that you've given us our earthly fathers who are worthy of repute, worthy of emulation, worthy of listening to. And we know that you'll continue to make them even greater fathers as the days go by. We thank you for you being our Father, that you chastise us where we go wrong, that as we work towards that perfection, as we work towards our new forms that will come someday, we get greater and greater in our dealings here on earth, in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for tomorrow. And thank you for all the days that we have left here on this plane. Thank you for the upcoming VBS. We place it all into your loving hands, the hands of our loving Father. For we know you're working together all things for the good of those who love you. And we here at New Covenant Church indeed love you. We pray all of these things in the name of your Son, who you sacrificed, that we may join in with you as joint heirs of Christ, that we may die one day and rise again to enjoy life everlasting. We pray all of these things in the name of that Son, in Jesus' name, and all the church says, amen. Thank you, everyone. Before we close,